I've done the homework on Stephen A. He's fraudulent. He's lying about his college basketball career. He's admitted he's lying about his college basketball career. If I sat in the media space for 20 years telling everybody, I played for Big House Games and I got a full ride scholarship after knocking down 17 straight three-pointers in a scrimmage on a Sunday when they played a game on Saturday and they hosted a scrimmage on Sunday and I knocked down 17 straight three-pointers and they gave me a scholarship on the spot. Anybody familiar with HBCUs? Anybody familiar with Winston-Salem State and how little money Winston-Salem State has and had back then? They're not giving out scholarships on the spot to anybody. It's all a lie.
Welcome to the latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly. In case you didn't know, that wasn't Norbit. That was Jason Whitlock. You know the difference. You know who Norbit is, right? Even though they look alike, that wasn't him. That was Jason Whitlock. You know, it's so interesting. A lot of times, you know, a lot of people look at me and say, Stephen A., you said you wasn't going to clap back. You wasn't going to say anything. You said when you went off on Jason Whitlock, over a year ago, that you wasn't going to say much about it. But here you are, Stephen A., again. I will remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that I have been being attacked by this man for over a decade. And the two times that I have spoken about him are the only two times that anybody has ever heard me say anything about him. But it does get to a point where you feel compelled to speak up, because as I watched his interview with Cam Newton on Cam Newton's show, 4th and 1, what y'all are missing, whether it's Emmanuel Acho or it's Marcellus Wiley or others who I will get to in just a second, certainly Cam Newton, what you're missing is that a lot of people are looking at it and acting like this is about the business. Now, this is personal. This is personal. Now, I'm not as personal as other people would be, because let me assure you, and if you know anything about Jason Whitlock's background, you would understand there's a reason you see his fat ass sitting in some cubicle somewhere, scared to come out in public, because he knows cats waiting for him. But he ain't worth it to me. He ain't worth it. Now, you would say, well, then why are you addressing him? Here's why. Because of what he has systematically tried to do to Black people in this industry. It's personal. On a whole multitude of levels. And I'll get to all of that in a second. I want to address first and foremost how pathetic and sick he looks. I mean, it's a real, real big time problem when it comes to him. It's hard to even put into words. Do you see his face when he's talking about me? You see his eyebrows looking like horns? You see how demonic he looks? I bring that up because he always claims to be doing God's work. Does that look like somebody doing God's work? I haven't even gotten into the details of what he's doing to show you that it's antithetical to anything that he swears he is doing. Because when it comes to being a pathological liar, no one is worse than him to himself, more so than the other people and the rest of us. It's to himself. But just for entertainment purposes, let me go back to what he was saying about my basketball career. Ladies and gentlemen, how many times have I said I tried? Somebody sit up there and say, hey, played in Winston-Salem State. I said, I tried to. I grew up poor. I can assure you my parents couldn't afford to pay for my college education. How did I graduate from Winston-Salem State? How did I go there without having to pay a dime? How'd that happen? It happened because I had a basketball scholarship. How did I get the basketball scholarship? Oh, I showed up for a workout. Well, you ever heard of the name Harold Funny Kitt? Harold Funny Kitt is a person that played at Winston-Salem State in the 70s, who remained close to the program, who drove me down from Queens, New York to Winston-Salem North Carolina for a workout in the middle of the season because Clarence Big House Gaines, he called Clarence Big House Gaines and said, I got some talent for you. I want you to see this guy. Clarence Big House Gaines saw me, sat up there, put me out on the court with cats like Charlie Spell and others and said, get on the court and show me what you got. And I kept passing the ball, passing the ball. He called the timeout. He said, wait a minute. Ain't you supposed to know how to shoot the ball? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, then, God damn it, shoot the ball. And I went out there and I hit 17 straight three-pointers. I repeatedly stated, I never did it before and I never pulled it off since. That one day God was watching. How can somebody who proclaims to be doing God's work have a problem with somebody highlighting how a moment in their life involved divine intervention because they were able to do something they never did and they lucked up? Jason Whitlock's that guy. Because you see, if you listen to him long enough, he's the only one that has this unfeathered connection with God. It's God that touched him. It's God that has disciplined him. It's God that has come down upon him and touched him on the shoulder and blessed him with the knowledge, the know-how, the conscience to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help him, God, while he excoriates everybody that he can. And I've sat here on numerous occasions, totally disgusted with the vile, despicable, disgusting human being that he is, who has lied about me, who has denigrated me, who even went as far as to call my pastor to try to interview my pastor about me. A pastor is a spiritual individual with a connection to individuals from his congregation, similar to what a priest is in the Catholic community, which means that the communication that happens with one another is between one another. Everybody knows that. That man says he's a man, he's doing God's work. But he don't know that? Of course he knows that. He doesn't care. He doesn't care, ladies and gentlemen, because he never has. Have you seen the things religiously associated with Jason Whitlock? He's on Blaze Media. Maybe I should, because I do know a few people. Isn't Glenn Beck running Blaze Media? Maybe I should give him a call and remind him of the things that Jason Whitlock has done. Maybe I should point to some of the demonic, evil, vicious stuff that he has done to me, Chris Broussard, Scoop Jackson, Jemele Hill, Michael Smith. List goes on and on. Maybe I should tell the people that he works with how people at PTI, pardon the interruption, when he used to suffer there, they looked at him and they said, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing these kind of things to people all the time? He said, you don't know? The money. But he shows up on Cam Newton's podcast and says he don't care about the money. Really? You sure about that? You want to hang your hat on that? Because I know otherwise. So I could sit here and go off all day, every day, about the disgusting speck of a human being that he is, the piece of shit that he is. But then I said, what am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I mad at him? Ladies and gentlemen, I dropped the ball. You know, I got up because I wanted to sit in front of the camera and I wanted to make sure he looked at a suit he never has a snowball's chance in wearing. You know, somebody that was critical of Cam Newton, along with numerous other people in the past. He was talking about how they dressed and how they looked and all of this other stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking about the cruelty that you exercise when you talk about so many people. And for some reason, it escaped me what the real problem is. Until I saw you on Cam Newton. Before, I just thought you were evil, bro. I just thought you were evil. But you're jealous. Because you see, the career that you say that I have that's fraudulent. No wonder you keep going back to shit from 40 years ago when I was playing basketball in high school and I tried to play in college. I've been the first to tell anybody, please, I couldn't shine these players' shoes. How does it feel to know, Jason, that you're still not better than me? You have never heard me say what I'm about to say about anybody in this business, because I don't talk about my colleagues and my contemporaries that way. I want everybody to get this, but I have whipped your ass. You're a columnist, I'm a columnist. You're a New York Times bestseller? No, you're not, but I am. Television ratings on ESPN, we're approaching 14 consecutive years of being number one in the mornings. You don't have a job. Fox don't want you. ESPN don't want you. None of the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, they don't want you. And what nobody has echoed or has come close to echoing other than Emmanuel Acho, who deserves all the credit in the world for bringing this up, is how you lean on Christianity. Why is that relevant? Because that's what the Blaze Network does, or the Blaze Media. It's conservative, leaning, religion and stuff like that. That's what they do. You're doing it because you're doing what's politically expedient so you can keep a job. How do we know this? Because how else would you watch me so much? Why do you know every little thing I do? Do you understand, Jason Whitlock, that you have done the equivalent of literally getting on your knees right in front of me? That's how desperate you sound, talking about me all the time. In this profession, I have whipped your ass. You can't touch me, bro. There's levels to this, and you ain't on it. I got up and walked around studio, not just to show off my suit and the relatively decent shape that I'm in, but because you never move from your seat, you don't want people to see you with your walrus-looking ass self. All you do is pop shit and talk about people. You stopped covering sports a long time ago. You just talk about people who cover it, because it ensures that you don't have to go to games, you don't have to communicate with people, and you don't have to be confronted by the people that you mess with outside of this business. You tell them how you slide a tape recorder under Allen Iverson's hotel door when you try to listen to those conversations. You tell them that? You tell them how many of us in the industry that you went to bosses and tried to undermine us to prevent us from getting paid? You talk about how many careers you've tried to squash? No, you don't talk about that. You say, I'm doing God's work. I don't care what people think. It's about me and him. You must have been really messed up to be so fixated on God at this point in time in your life, because you know the damage you've tried to do to other people. Let me go through some of the headlines just for our edification. Is this God's work? How Jason Whitlock is poisoning ESPN's Black Grantland. That's from an article in 2015. I would encourage everybody to go read it. It's on Deadspin. Go read it. Is that God's work? How about this next headline? Show me the next one. Is that God's work? Jason Whitlock says Tyre Nichols died because officers were supervised by single black women. That's what you said. That's what he said. That God's work? Is this God's work? No, Michelle Obama isn't trans. But here's why her critics repeat the false claim. That's God's work, huh? Oh, I got more. Show some more. The Blazers' Jason Whitlock rages against women's suffrage. Not everybody has to have a vote. So women shouldn't be voting. That's God's work. That's God's work, according to Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock compares Black Lives Matter and Antifa to the KKK. That's God's work. So you went on your knees and prayed for those headlines. That's what you did. You are pathetic. Attacking Ryan Clark, a brilliant freaking NFL analyst, one of the best in the business, bar none, unquestionable. You attack him. What has he done to you? That's godly. That's acting on behalf of the good Lord. No, that's acting on behalf of somebody evil and disgusting and jealous, who systematically goes about the business of trying to diminish and lower Black people in our business because they're better than you, and you don't want anybody to see it that way. And if you're not broke, you will be soon. Because chances are, you're not hireable. You have no ethics, you have no morals. But most importantly, for the purposes of this conversation, Jason Whitlock, you don't have a career that compares to mine. I have never talked about that in any way, shape, form, or fashion about any of my colleagues. I reserve it especially for your evil, despicable, trifling ass. But I'm not mad, because I realize why. It's the jealousy. You can't take the fact that I'm better than you. You can't take the fact that I'm more successful than you. You can't take the fact that John Skipper handed you the reins to a website allowing, supposedly positioning you to be the Black Bill Simmons, and you couldn't hold your own weight. You couldn't even get Black people to work for you. Look at this right here. Allow me to read this to y'all. Keep that up on the full screen. Deadspin, Greg Howard, the author, article from 2015. This staff, the one Whitlock was praised by way of warnings that if the writers and editors wouldn't align with his vision, he would get rid of them, wasn't the one he wanted. The Undefeated was originally meant to attract the best and brightest young Black talent in the country, with Whitlock's aim set so high that he at one point seriously tried to recruit The Athletic's Ta-Nehisi Coates, the sharpest cultural commentator in the business today. As things worked out, though, these young writers comprehensively refused to work with him. So did big-name ESPNers like Howard Bryant, Jamel Hill, and Stephen A. Smith, whom he tried to bring in as contributors. End quote. Stop right there. I'm a fraud. I didn't do X, Y, and Z. Ladies and gentlemen, he's saying that my education wasn't paid for. He's saying I didn't write my own book. When Amy Bell, the editor at Simon Schuster, you can ask her yourself, Charles Soup, who runs 13A Imprint at Simon & Schuster, would tell you, I wrote my own book, no ghostwriter. Everywhere he turns, he tries to lie, denigrate, and diminish, because he's trying to get somebody to be smaller than him, not recognizing that physically most people are smaller than his fat ass. But it's okay, because again, I understand where it comes from. It's jealousy, and it's the specter of a future where you're completely rendered irrelevant. You're not owning up to the fact that you had your chance in 2015 and you blew it. A year and a half you had to take the website off the ground to get Black people to work for you, to build an organization, and you blew it. And it was completely financed by ESPN and you didn't get it done. John Skipper gave you an opportunity. Mr. Entz at Fox gave you an opportunity. Countless people looked out for you and you blew it. Yeah, you were a columnist, highly respected because of your writing ability and your perspectives, because you do make people think once they're able to get past how evil and vile you are. But in the end, what it comes down to is you're not cutting it. You started a podcast 2 years before me. The day that I started a podcast, you had 322,000 subscribers. You were at 322,000. I was at zero. You haven't even hit 600,000 yet. I'm at 1.35 million. See, Jason, you keep losing to me. You're not telling people what really hurts you. You keep getting your ass kicked by me. You do a television show, I outrate you. You do a radio show, I outrate you. You go to podcast route, I outrate you. I look better, I feel better. Nothing works for you against me, except me shutting up while you run your mouth to create clicks so you can get a check, because it's all you have. You don't have it because you don't have talent. You don't have it because some people don't want to listen to you. You have it because everybody knows that you're evil and you're despicable and you've napalmed bridges. That's why you can't get a job. Talking about your colleagues and contemporaries, stabbing them in the back at every turn. This is why I told you, Emmanuel Acho. This is why I'm telling you, Marcellus Wiley and others. This is why I'm talking to the people that are on Jason Whitlock's show. Fearless, fearless. He's scared of nothing. Evidently, y'all in contact Patrick Bet-David and talk about how he ran out of the studio the minute he was in this vicinity of Roland Martin, to the point where he almost got hit by a damn car because he was so damn scared of going up against Roland Martin. He chirped and chirped and talked shit. And then when Roland Martin showed up, he ran like a coward. That's Jason Whitlock. But it's nothing compared to who he is with his supposed friends and people who are close to him. I don't know your names. I don't care to. Anybody that's on this show, I wish you nothing but the best. I need you to go to church and I need you to pray. I need you to figuratively or literally have security. And I need you to make sure they're watching your back, because he will stab you in it. There isn't a black person in our business that would disagree with what I said. You don't believe me? Ask them. He is a lowlife, the worst kind. It's who he is. And I'm not going to go off and engage in profanity-laced tirades and all that stuff. I said enough. But do you know the reason I came up here with y'all today? He lied about him, a professor of mine. Said she wasn't really a professor. Woman at home, minding her business, retired, and he's trying to denigrate her career to get at me. He brought up my boy Spank, Gary Stevens. He was a teammate and a friend, one of my best friends in the world, never bothered anybody. But because Jason Whitlock is so addicted and fixated on me, he's going to go after my boys. It's who he is. And then he's trying to hide behind my quote-unquote bump my basketball career. I didn't have one. Cracked my kneecap in half. A couple of months after I got there, it was over before it began, damn it. Who cares? I'm 58 years old in the business that you're in. And it's at the same time that you're in. Smoking your ass. Smoking you. Excuse my language. You can't fuck with me, Jay. Not even a little bit. There's levels to this. And your ass is smaller than a cockroach compared to me. You're nothing. You are an expert troller. I'll give you that. And you can evoke emotional responses and conversations because you're willing to stoop to the lowest of the low by attacking people's loved ones in order to get them. But know this, all you're doing is getting a reaction out of me to address how despicable you truly are. But in the end, understand that when your fat ass is sitting behind your desk and you don't want to roll around it because you don't want everybody to see how rotund you are, know everything about my life is better than yours. I've never said this about anybody else, and I never will. This is specifically for you. You've lost. I'm better than you. The public says it. Everybody knows it. And you looked so pathetic, it had me wondering, really, he must be in really, really dire straits. So I decided to do something about that. Nice studio. Something you can't afford. Somewhere along the way, you know what I'm contemplating doing, Jason? I haven't made a decision yet. But I'm thinking about starting a GoFundMe account for you. Because clearly you're that desperate. That's why you talk about me so much. Look at your numbers when you're talking about me and look at your numbers when you don't. I keep you relevant. That's perhaps the worst insult of it all. Fat Bastard Locke. That's the title of the GoFundMe account. Fat Bastard Locke. That's for you, my brother. Contrary to what you're willing to tell Blaze Media, you used to do that a lot, didn't you? After all, that's the only chance you had of getting some. Needless to say, probably didn't work for you either. Because if anybody needs something, it's you. Cam Newton, next time, my brother, because you know I love you, you gonna interview somebody and bring me up? Don't just sit there and let them talk shit. Ask questions. Let them prove it. I'm a fraud? How? What facts do you have? I'm sitting there doing an interview with Grim Bessinger the other day, and I talked about how growing up as a teenager, I saw a few people get murdered. Not like literally, oh, I mean, you hear gunshots, oh, shit, you turn around and somebody's gone. I'm lying about that according to Jason Whitlock, like he was in Hollis, Queens, New York 40 plus years ago. How would he know? I'm a fraud, and do you believe this or that? I'm a fraud. How do you know? I didn't write my own book. How do you know? If you're going to bring me up and you're somebody that's in my inner circle and you talk to me, grill them. Don't just let them talk smack. For those of you who haven't heard the interview, I encourage you to go listen to it because Cam otherwise did a fantastic job. And I love that brother. And I'm going to show up on his show as well. I bet you he'll have better questions for me than he did for Jason Whitlock. Emmanuel Acho, Marcellus Wiley, I have my disagreements with y'all from time to time, but I appreciate y'all comments about me. Play that, please. Both of them, back to back, so people could know how supportive they were of me.
It sounds like a hater, because again, say what you will about Stephen A, and I've said a lot, Stephen A is the best in the business, and it is not particularly close. So Jason Whitlock, to me, he might be right about Stephen A's basketball career. Who cares? Stephen A's not a pro basketball player. But he's dead wrong about Stephen A on TV.
I think this was a low ball move for sure from Whitlock. But it's on brand for him. And unfortunately, sometimes people just have a brand.
What's crazy is like he's such a good villain.
No, he's a great villain.
He is.
Like I said, like, I give him credit for that. Like
he's such a good villain. He goes at like women and children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he does, like, the criminal thing you're not supposed to do. Any marginalized community, he's like, they can get it. Yeah. Mentally handicapped. Don't
Come on,
care.
Man. Dropping the R word in 2026, you don't care. You don't care.
He don't care at all. Nothing,
he doesn't care.
Bro, he all right, bro.
And then the worst part, though, he does it all under the guise of Christianity. That's the worst part. Like, he does it all under...
In modern context, a lot of people do that under the guise of Christianity.
Right? But, like, it's the craziest thing.
Tell me if this thought bubble is going in your head. Okay. Even if it is a lie, that's why you hate him? It's because he's a fraud and he lied his way into this position. It's a lot of ways into it, but doesn't the end justify the means? I don't know. Some guys have lied themselves into great positions. Remember in the game when they were giving out all the jobs to the best players? Remember there was a day with Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith, and they didn't do the best in media, but they gave them the job because they were the best at sports. Then we realized, nah, we don't need to give it to the best. We need to give it to just who can entertain, who can inform. Right? So if Stephen A. didn't have the best sports career, does that really negate the fact that he is the best in sports media? The biggest in sports media? That's my thought bubble. Tell me if y'all had the same one.
I want to say thank you for that. I really mean it. Not just to Emmanuel Acho, but even to the curly-haired, light-skinned cat, don't know his name right now. They tried to call me out over the Zion Williamson thing. All I would ask in the future, fellas, is that when y'all talking about me, particularly with the Zion situation, could you do your homework? Because it's one thing to watch the league, it's another thing to cover it. What I said about Zion, I wasn't insulting him. I was telling the truth. It was in his contract. There was a food clause. It's the truth. There are folks who watch the league, and there are folks who cover it. I cover the league. Remember that. Marcellus Wiley, appreciate you too. Although you could be a bit forceful, more forceful in addressing Jason, because you know a lot of brothers and sisters in the business, and you know what he's done. But I still appreciate y'all. Any kind of disagreement that we may have or whatever about a particular subject, ladies and gentlemen, please know I don't care. You have every right to disagree with me. I don't have any problem with anybody attacking my points and telling me why they disagree with me. I only got a problem when you attack me as a person. I don't think I deserve that because there's a lot of people that have been in precarious situations at FS1 and ESPN and beyond, and you don't hear me saying a word. Some level of decency has to take spurring conversations with one another. Y'all are all welcome on this show anytime you want. Happy to talk with y'all about differences and agreements. Everybody, except that no good bastard that has contaminated this industry, systematically trying to slice and dice and hurt black people with executives, with networks, and beyond, because he wants to be the one that everybody shines a light on. Not accepting the fact that he had his chance and he blew it. You lost, bro. Whitlock. I know it hurts. But accept it. All this shit you talking is because I have whipped your ass in this industry. You are nothing. Just lucky I'm not like other people who would see you. You know what they want to do with you, right? That's why you hide in Nashville. Damn near scared to come outside. Because you know the shit you've done to people. You know it was foul. You know it was lies. You know it was vicious. You know it was ungodly. But you don't care. Because you're you. Oh, by the way, did you know I was just honored Personality of the Year, Broadcast Associations of America? Did you know that there are colleges that are planning on naming buildings after me?
What are they doing for you?